Donnie's are back.
Eddie's are back.
Alrighty. Donnie there. Don. Everybody back in?
Toby?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. I just had to go grab my charger. I'm about to run out of battery.
Okay. Don back? Is Don hit there? Hang on just a bit, everybody.
I'm back.
Okay.
I pressed one and it hung up on me. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay.
That's how those new guys are. They just don't catch on to stuff.
Well, I want to welcome everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to another session of our teleconference church. And I want to ask your prayers for Don, our brother Don Hitt, as he brings us the sermon today, that the Lord would, you know, touch his heart and his mind, his tongue, and would bring us God's word to strengthen each of us and help us and draw us each closer to the good Lord. And I want to say to Don, thanks for being willing to be here and participate in our call. And I'll turn it over to you, Don.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for asking me. And I really do appreciate it. Since I was a little boy, my dad said something about praying continually. And he just said, you know, you just can't do it. Forget it. It can't be done. And then I heard somebody in the Church of Christ, a minister, say that it just might as well hang it up. You can't do it. It's impossible. And I thought, well, Nephi said that the Lord didn't give any commandments to the children of men unless he opens up a way whereby they can accomplish the thing that he's commanded them. So I thought, you know, there's got to be a way to do this. And so over the years, I've been getting some things together, and I'd like to share them with you. It'll be a help. It's been a help to me. I hope it'll be a help to you. It's something that you can get a handle on and work toward doing that. And when I get this all made up, I'm going to send it to Jerry. And if you guys want one, you can have it, because I have to go over it and over it and over it. So what I'm going to cover here is like how to keep your mind from wandering so much and what to do when it does and things to meditate on when you're not praying, substituting other things like singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks and thinking about things that are lovely and of a good report. And then we're going to find out about how self-love is a problem for all of that and how the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us. So let's talk about staying focused. This is one thing that's been bothering me and bothered me. If I try to pray, just not continually, but just kneel in prayer, my mind just starts going off someplace, and then I get feeling real depressed because I did that, and I try to come back, and it just seemed to be a continual battle. Well, if you're praying and your mind starts to wander, there's a couple things you need to do. You have to consider, I wonder if this is the Lord that is trying to get me to remember something now that I'm sitting down and holding still for a little while, and he can talk, and he's bringing something to my mind that I need to address. And so you have to give that an evaluation. And then if it's not something that you need to take care of, just come back. Just come back and keep praying, but don't let yourself feel depressed about that. I used to feel so, I would say to myself, I can't believe that you were praying, and now you're off thinking about something else, and the Lord must think you're terrible. Well, I don't think that anymore. I just bring my mind back and just not have a feeling of depression about it and just keep on praying. And I gave myself 2 years to learn how to pray continually. And it's been 2.5 years about, and I'm about 10% better than I was. So I thought, why can't you get a handle on this better than you're doing? And I realized that my mind has been running all over the world, out of control, like a wild horse, for all my life. I've never tried to control my thoughts. If I was thinking things that weren't good, I can do that. When you're young and you're a boy, you think about a lot of things that are not good. And I learned to not think about those things. But most everything else, my mind just goes like, you need to get the wood in, you need to mow the lawn, and so all those things I just cast away and come back and try to concentrate on what I'm doing. And that has been a real benefit to me. It helps me not to feel depressed because my mind has wandered. It made me realize that it's been out of control so long, and I never even thought to control it. But now that I am, it's a long, hard road for me. Now my wife, on the other hand, we had some problems. Barbara got really, really depressed. She had a hysterectomy, and that's depressing. She was going through the change of life, and that was depressing. I was saying things that were depressing. Her knees were both rubbing bone on bone, and that was very, very bad. And she just got in the car and drove off and stayed in a motel about 30 miles from here. Got a room, got in the middle of the floor and sat down and started praying and fasting and reading the Word for 3 days. And after that, the Lord spoke to her and said, you have to put me first in your life. You put your husband first in your life, and I have to be number one. And he told her a few more things that she needed to help herself physically. And when she come back, when she got out of the car, it was evening time. It was just about dark. And when she stepped out of that car, she really wasn't glowing, but I could see that she was. She just was beautiful. And, she just, since that time, the Lord has meant so much to her, more than he ever has. Oh, another thing he said, you have known me all your life, but you haven't put me number one. And now she puts him as number one. She walks through the house singing songs. She makes up songs about him, and if they don't rhyme, she don't care, and I don't think he does either. She prays continually, and she just does by nature the things that I'm struggling with and trying to get ahead on it. And she really is an inspiration to me. If I'm working on my computer and she's going through the house, I can just hear her singing. And I thought, oh, maybe you better sing too. Another thing that we do is When we get out of bed in the morning, we both get up at the same time, different sides of the bed, and we put our feet on the floor. Only, we put them down in the river of life. And we sing a little song that says, I got a river of life flowing up in me. It makes the lame to walk, makes the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I got a river of life flowing up in me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. And that's how we start our day off. And one day I asked her, how deep is the water? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you got your feet in the river of life. And I knew mine was just almost up to my ankles, you know. And she said, it's up to my knees. And I thought, up to your knees? Boy, maybe I better start getting up on your side of the bed. And as time went on, my water got a little lower. And it was just up to the soles of my shoes. And I was feeling really, really bad about it. I didn't want to tell anybody because, you know, it was embarrassing. And so I met a friend of mine that goes down to the Mardi Gras and different things like that and witnesses for the Lord and everything. He walked up to me and just looked right at me out of a clear blue sky and said, Don, whenever you put your feet in the river of life, and there's not very much water there, don't worry about it. Just ask the Lord to forgive you for anything you've done and just keep on going with a cheerful heart. I thought, oh my goodness, that has got to be straight from the Lord because I didn't tell anybody. But I've noticed that when I start singing that song, my mind would start to wander because I've done it every day and it's kind of repetition. And so now it's easier for me to center back on what I'm doing and stay concentrating. And it just takes some time. So don't be discouraged. You might give yourself a little longer than 2 years, and because it's going to take some time. But at least I know where I'm heading. And I have a plan that is going to help me stay focused when I pray. All day long, I don't let my mind wander all over the world like a wild horse running. I keep it in check and try to stay focused on scriptures. I've learned some scripture songs, and so I can think about those because they're easy for me. I've memorized them with a tune. And I can meditate on those. And I've got benefit from doing that because I remember one of them, and it used the word joy twice. And so I went home and looked that up in, Strong's, and those two words were different Hebrew words for joy. And there was meaning in that brought that scripture more alive to me because I understood more about it. And so that's always been a blessing. So another thing you can do is is just flat out memorize scripture. But I have found that there's a lot of doctrine and things that I need to know to be able to defend, you know, my belief. And so I take the scriptures that are behind that doctrine and carry them in the car or something and read them and try to get a handle on something I can use to back up my, you know, beliefs. And that's been very beneficial to me. Another thing it says, someplace, I haven't looked it up, says, think on, let's see, whatever is good, honest, and lovely, and true, and of a good report. Think on these things. And sometimes we talk about things that are true, but they are not lovely, and they are not of a good report. So if you're thinking about analyzing what you're about to say to somebody, go to Proverbs 6:16, and it says there are six things the Lord hates. Well, no, seven. That's my own translation. And then it names what they are. And you can just about do every single one of those on a telephone. And the one about where feet that are swift to do evil, you can hang up and you can't wait to run to your neighbor to tell something that you just heard. So analyze what you're saying and what you're thinking about. It might be true, but that doesn't give you an excuse to think about it or talk about it. It has to be lovely and of a good report. Another thing that's been a great help to me in this thing, and that is the difference between my will and my mind. I will to do this. I want to pray continually. I want to make it part of my life. But my mind is my main problem. It just gives me all kind of troubles. And one of the troubles, it says, is, do you realize how long it is to endure to the end? You're going to have to keep this up all of your life. Are you going to want to be that dedicated? I'm having too much fun thinking just about anything I want to, anytime I want to, and I don't want to be burdened down with having to pray continually. And I didn't realize I had that attitude. It took me about a year and a half to realize that I did have that attitude. And so as soon as I realized it, then I just said, you know, we're not going to go that route of you wanting to be free to do whatever you want. My will is that I pray continually. I have found nothing in the teachings of Christ that when I didn't make it part of my life, I might have put a couple of negatives in there. I found in the teachings of Christ, when I put it into practice, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. I remember one time it said, pray for your enemies. And I had an enemy, and I thought, well, I'll pray for him. And so I started praying for him. And I wasn't praying very good things. And then I got to thinking, you know, you're going to have to get serious about this. And so I started praying good things about him. Boy, did I ever. I did the best thing I could think of. His family to be blessed, his children to, you know, be exposed to the gospel and receive it as part of their life, and to be blessed, just everything I could think of. And I also prayed in the Spirit. I prayed in tongues about that because I didn't know just how to pray like I should. And as I began to do that, a love for that person came into my heart that cannot be broken. It is absolutely set me free from anything that I'd felt that wasn't good. And so having put that part of the Word of God into effect, pray for your enemies, making it part of my life, it has set me free and made me so happy that I'm not carrying a burden of that bitterness. So when I catch on to this praying continually and make it part of my life, I am going to be blessed because something is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but I've never been disappointed when I made what Jesus said to do part of my life. It's just wonderful. I remember we made a study up. Let me see, we'll back up just a little bit. There is a website called e-sword.com. .net. This guy decided that anybody in the world ought to be able to download information on how to do anything he wanted to teach on subjects, and he has books that are fantastic. The Council of Nice, I think he's got about four or five of them, and all kind of books that are really, really outstanding books, and several Bibles and commentaries, and I got a lot of good of it. So I made this thing that said, I looked up that passage of scripture, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And so I read some of it. Boy, it was good. It was really, really good. And so one of the things it says, he points out that it just says count it all joy, but this is really your duty. And so I didn't think very much about that. And whenever we finished the class, something happened. Somebody said something. It got me so upset that I just couldn't believe it. It just hurt me to the quick. And so I just sit there with this depressed feeling for a few seconds, and it was like the Holy Ghost was standing right beside me, and he yelled out and said, what is your duty? And I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. I read something. Where was that? And so I went real quick over the scripture, and it says, it's your duty to count it all joy. And so I did. I just thought, you know, I am going to make this part of my life. And I just started counting it all joy and praising the Lord and making an effort to think on good things. And you know something? That ill feeling that I had just went away, just like, phew, it was gone. And it was just neat making the Word of God part of your life. It's just marvelous and wonderful. there's some passages of Scripture that'll help you on this. It's in Hebrews 13:21. It says, I've got the God of peace in parenthesis before that. It says, may the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then in Philippians 2:13 it says, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So you might as well just learn that if you're going to make up your mind that you are going to do this, you are going to pray continually, and I've also added that I am going to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And I was determined to do that. And if you're determined that you're going to do that, I'll just tell you right now, you're going to fail. It's going to be just like everything else you've tried with all your might to do. You're not going to be able to do it. We have a new covenant that is established on better promises. The old covenant is the Ten Commandments. It says that in many places, in Deuteronomy and different places. The Ten Commandments is the old covenant. Jeremiah says, I want to say 31, someplace around in there, says, hey, I'm going to make a new covenant. Not like the one that I made when I took you guys out of Egypt. You didn't keep that at all. You just broke it. But this is the covenant that I'm going to make with you in those days. I'm going to write that in your heart. And so when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, to me, that is the new covenant. And it's established on better promises. In the old covenant, it said, okay, here's the law. This is what you don't do. This is what you do, and you better do it. In the new covenant, he says, this is what I want you to do now, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be your helper, and you'll be able to accomplish the things that I've asked you to do. And, you know, Jesus said, you can't do anything without me, because I'm the vine and you're the branches. And John the Baptist told those people, he said, man doesn't have anything unless it's given to him from above. And so these scriptures says, it's God that works in you both to do his good pleasure. And so you got a helper. Take him with you. Just tell him, just lay it out and say, I've tried this before. I want to do it. It's not working for me. I can't get it. I need your help. And I think that will help you a whole bunch. You might have to get down to the place where you just say, Lord, I cannot do that. If you don't do it for me, I am not going to be able to do it. And he will help you. That is what he wants to do. He gave his life for us. Now, Jesus died on the cross, you know, to pay for our sins. He didn't do that just to keep us from going to hell. He did that so that we could come back into his presence. That's explained very well in about 3 or 4 pages in the Book of Mormon. It starts out and says, you know, man was in the garden, then they sinned, they were put out, Christ came, made the price, and it just comes back into a round circle so that we can be back into the presence of the Lord. He wants us there. He wants our fellowship. He wants to be alone with us. He wants to spend time walking with us in the cool of the evening in the garden. I've done that. I've gone for walks in our place around here. We've got quite a few trees, and I just said, Jesus, let you and I go for a walk. And I just walked along and talked to him and looked at all the good things he made. Michael Hitt did that. He was out walking and he come on this thorn tree. Boy, I mean, he didn't see it, and he stabbed one of those things in his arm, and man, it hurt real bad. And so he pulled it out, and Jesus spoke to him and said, how'd you like to have a crown made out of that? And so it's neat. It's neat just to spend some time alone with the Lord. Let me see. So I guess we just start out each day with a more of a determination that you are going to make everything that Jesus said part of your life. And it's not easy to do. A lot of the things are very hard to do. Let's see, I forgot what I was going to say right there. Oh, another thing that I've had problems with in the past is somebody would say something to my wife, a relation of hers would say something, and I'd be okay for about a day or two, and then that thing would start eating on me. And I thought, why in the world did they say that? She'd come home crying. And then I get to thinking, now let me see. Well, boy, if I was there, I'd have said this and I'd have done that. And it usually happens when I'm mowing the lawn. I just keep thinking about it over and over. And I knew it wasn't right, so I'd say a prayer. I'd say, Lord, you know, I'm thinking this is not good stuff. I don't want to do it. Please help me. Well, that worked the first time, but the second time I tried, it didn't work. And so the second time I thought, well, what am I going to do? To get my mind just goes over and over and over, and I'm sick and tired of it, but it won't go away. So I thought, well, I don't know what to do. I'll praise the Lord. So I just started singing little praise songs to the Lord, you know, like, oh, come let us adore him, and just any little thing that I knew that was about, and it went away. And boy, I was so glad. And then 2 or 3 months later or something like that, or a year, another subject, another time, would come and start eating at me. And I prayed, and that didn't work. And so I remember now, I praised the Lord the last time, and it went away. So I just praise the Lord, and it did not go away. And so I have found something that works every single time. And my batteries are out of my Omnicorder. I'd play it for you, but I just want to sing it for you so that you can make it part of your life, because when you do and you're thinking things that are not good and you want to stop but you can't because you're bitter and whatever the cause, if you will say these words or sing this song, it's in one of the Corinthians, either first or second, I want to say 10:4, 10:5 and 6 and 7 or something like that. It says, casting down, I'll sing it. I'm casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you know, when I say those words, that power that's in the Word of God changes my mind. And it has worked for me over and over and over. And so, I hope you'll learn that song. Maybe the next time when I preach, I'll play it and sing it, because I want that to be part of your life. And you can use it, because it has power that can change who you are. That's what the word, that's what the words of Christ are. See, where's that place that says, I can't think it right now, but it says it's the power of God, the law of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. So putting the Word of God to work in your life is one of the most wonderful things you can do. It'll change you into a new creature. It'll set you free. It'll release you from habits and bitternesses that have maybe plagued you for a long time. And so I'm through. I just want to encourage you. I got two scriptures down here on the left of this page. It says John 4:32, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And I couldn't do that because my mind was wandering so much. When I would sing, even in church, I'd be thinking, you know, where are we going to go after we eat? After we have church, where are we going to eat? And you know, I thought, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. I ought to be thinking about what this song is saying. And so I want to encourage you to start on a path to change your life. And this will be such a help to you, because you'll be able to pray continually and not faint. Thank you very much for letting me share these words with you. That's it.
Thank you, Don. Just a little testimony.
Okay, good.
Something that's happened in my life. Of course, I struggle against the same things you're talking about. Being able to keep my mind truly focused on God, and I get, we had a real good sermon here a few weeks ago from Buzz Rickhouse about murmuring, and
Very good. Even
if I wouldn't do it out loud, I think I was finding that I was doing that in my mind, murmuring. But the other night I was knelt in prayer, and I I've been having a lot of trouble at work and everywhere else, and I just I finally just confessed. I said, God, I'm a mess. I'm not even sure what to ask for. Just help me. And I feel like he's really helped me since then. I think sometimes it's given up. Given over, I guess, is the better way to say it,
yeah,
to him.
There you go.
And I do want to thank you. I think your words, I hesitate to even say your words, but I think what you brought us to think about is his words, the teachings of Jesus, and putting them to life in our lives, to live that way and to think that way, that he might be in us at all times and guide us. I remember when I was young and I used to hang out with Ronnie Sheldon a lot, I'd be over at his house and his mom would just continually go through the house singing sermons and stuff. Not singing sermons, but singing church songs. And was just so happy. And
yeah,
that she had that joy in her. And it brought God's Spirit with it. So I think, and I pray that God will help us to get up in the morning and to put our feet in the river of life and to be his representative and to show out the light that he gives us. So thank you for your words.
Are there any questions?
Can I give like a little testimony?
Yeah.
I was hallucinating before, seeing things and hearing things. And I went to the hospital for it, but before I did, I said a prayer that I would get better and be able to come back so I could spend some time with my friends and family, and I did, and I got better, and I'm back, and hi.
Wow.
Thank you, Katie.
That is neat.
And this is Benny. I looked up the little song that you were singing, Dom. The verse that's based on is 2 Corinthians 10th chapter.
Okay.
Say that again, Benny.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Thank you.
I remember one time my son Mark got sick and almost died. And about 3 days later, I was at work and my legs began to get sweaty. And I thought, I'm getting that same thing Mark had, because it's been 3 days, and that's the incubation period, and therefore I am going to be sick. And so I thought, oh, no, you're not. And so I said a prayer as best I could, and it didn't help. And so I praised the Lord for a little while, and that didn't help. And so I went in the cooler and slammed the door. Nobody could hear me, and I hollered and said, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you know, that the instant I said those words, all those symptoms went away. And I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
He said that verse 4, that verse just before the chorus was. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Well, I remember that now, because that's 10-4. Everybody ought to say 10-4.
That's bad.
I love all you guys. This is just really neat, and I'm so glad I got to be here today.
We thank you too.
Thank you for your sermon.
Would you all bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we do truly thank you for being with us today, and I ask that you would continue with us, that your spirit would be in us, and that service would be the definition of the way we walk and not just a dedicated time on Sunday. That we would be your servants, that we would shine forth your light and do your will. Help us, Lord, to set aside more time alone with you in prayer, and more time to feast on your word, to actually study out of the Bible and of the Book of Mormon, and to have those things ingrained within our heart, and to put them into practice when we need it most, in those times of stress and trial that those times when we need it most, we will remember and that we will apply the way you've shown us to live. And we would give you all the credit, because we know that you are God and you are our leader. And we would praise you in the name of thy son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You all have a good week.
Okay.
Love you all.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy St. Patrick.
Donnie's are back.
Eddie's are back.
Alrighty. Donnie there. Don. Is everybody back in?
Toby?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. I just had to go grab my charger. I'm about to run out of battery.
Okay. Is Don back? Is Don hit there? Hang on just a bit, everybody.
I'm back.
There he is.
Okay.
I pressed one and it hung up on me. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay.
That's how those new guys are. They just don't catch on to stuff.
Well, I want to welcome everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to another session of our teleconference church. And I want to ask your prayers for Don, our brother Don Hitt, as he brings us the sermon today, that the Lord would, you know, touch his heart and his mind, his tongue, and would bring us God's word to strengthen each of us and help us and draw us each closer to the good Lord. And I want to say to Don, thanks for being willing to be here and participate in our call. And I'll turn it over to you, Don.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for asking me. And I really do appreciate it. Since I was a little boy, my dad said something about praying continually. And he just said, you know, you just can't do it. Forget it. It can't be done. And then I heard somebody in the Church of Christ, a minister, say that it just might as well hang it up. You can't do it. It's impossible. And I thought, well, Nephi said that the Lord didn't give any commandments to the children of men unless he opens up a way whereby they can accomplish the thing that he's commanded them. So I thought, you know, there's got to be a way to do this. And so over the years, I've been getting some things together, and I'd like to share them with you. It'll be a help. It's been a help to me. I hope it'll be a help to you. It's something that you can get a handle on and work toward doing that. And when I get this all made up, I'm going to send it to Jerry, and if you guys want one, you can have it, because I have to go over it and over it and over it. So this, what I'm going to cover here is like how to keep your mind from wandering so much and what to do when it does. And things to meditate on when you're not praying, substituting other things like singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks and thinking about things that are lovely and of a good report. And then we're going to find out about how self-love is a problem for all of that, and how the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us. So let's talk about staying focused. This is one thing that's been bothered me. If I try to pray, just not continually, but just kneel in prayer, my mind just starts going off someplace, and then I get feeling real depressed because I did that, and I try to come back, and it just seemed to be a continual battle. Well, if you're praying and your mind starts to wander, there's a couple things you need to do. You have to consider, I wonder if this is the Lord that is trying to get me to remember something now that I'm sitting down and holding still for a little while, and he can talk, and he's bringing something to my mind that I need to address. And so you have to give that an evaluation. And then if it's not something that you need to take care of, just come back. Just come back and keep praying. But don't let yourself feel depressed about that. I used to feel so, I would say to myself, I can't believe that you were praying and now you're off thinking about something else, and the Lord must think you're terrible. Well, I don't think that anymore. I just bring my mind back and just not have a feeling of depression about it, and just keep on praying. And I gave myself 2 years to learn how to pray continually. And it's been 2.5 years about, and I'm about 10% better than I was. So I thought, why can't you get a handle on this better than you're doing? And I realized that my mind has been running all over the world, out of control, like a wild horse, for all my life. I've never tried to control my thoughts. If I was thinking things that weren't good, I can do that. When you're young and you're a boy, you think about a lot of things that are not good. And I learned to not think about those things. But most everything else, my mind just goes like, you need to get the wood in, you need to mow the lawn, and so all those things I just cast away and come back and try to concentrate on what I'm doing. And that has been a real benefit to me. It helps me not to feel depressed because my mind has wandered. It made me realize that it's been out of control so long, and I never even thought to control it. But now that I am, it's a long, hard road for me. Now my wife, on the other hand, we had some problems. Barbara got really, really depressed. She had a hysterectomy, and that's depressing. She was going through the change of life, and that was depressing. I was saying things that were depressing. Her knees were both rubbing bone on bone, and that was very, very bad. And she just got in the car and drove off and stayed in a motel about 30 miles from here, got a room, got in the middle of the floor and sat down and started praying and fasting and reading the Word for 3 days. And after that, the Lord spoke to her and said, you have to put me first in your life. You put your husband first in your life, and I have to be number one. And he told her a few more things that she needed to help herself physically. And when she come back, when she got out of the car, it was evening time. It was just about dark. And when she stepped out of that car, she really wasn't glowing, but I could see that she was. She just was beautiful. And, you know, she just, since that time, the Lord has meant so much to her, more than he ever has. Oh, another thing he said, you have known me all your life, but you haven't put me number one. And now she puts him as number one. She walks through the house singing songs. She makes up songs about him, and if they don't rhyme, she don't care, and I don't think he does either. She prays continually, and she just does by nature the things that I'm struggling with and trying to get ahead on it. And she really is an inspiration to me. If I'm working on my computer and she's going through the house, I can just hear her singing. And I thought, oh, maybe you better sing too. Another thing that we do is when we get out of bed in the morning, we both get up at the same time, different sides of the bed, and we put our feet on the floor. Only we put them down in the river of life. And we sing a little song that says, I got a river of life flowing up in me. It makes the lame to walk, makes the blind to see. It opens prison doors, set the captive free. I got a river of life flowing up in me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. And that's how we start our day off. And one day I asked her, how deep is the water? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you got your feet in the river of life. And I knew mine was just almost up to my ankles, you know. And she said, it's up to my knees. And I thought, up to your knees? Boy, maybe I better start getting up on your side of the bed. And as time went on, my water got a little lower. And it was just up to the soles of my shoes. And I was feeling really, really bad about it. I didn't want to tell anybody because, you know, it was embarrassing. And so I met a friend of mine that goes down to the Mardi Gras and different things like that and witnesses for the Lord and everything. He walked up to me and just looked right at me out of a clear blue sky and said, Don, whenever you put your feet in the river of life, and there's not very much water there, don't worry about it. Just ask the Lord to forgive you for anything you've done and just keep on going with a cheerful heart. I thought, oh my goodness, that has got to be straight from the Lord because I didn't tell anybody. But I've noticed that when I start singing that song, my mind would start to wander because I've done it every day and it's kind of repetition. And so now it's easier for me to center back on what I'm doing and stay concentrating. And it just takes some time. So don't be discouraged. You might give yourself a little longer than 2 years, and because it's going to take some time, but at least I know where I'm heading. And I have a plan that is going to help me stay focused when I pray. All day long, I don't let my mind wander all over the world like a wild horse running. I keep it in check and try to stay focused on scriptures. I've learned some scripture songs, and so I can think about those because they're easy for me. I've memorized them with a tune. And I can meditate on those. And I've got benefit from doing that because I remember one of them, and it used the word joy twice. And so I went home and looked that up in, Strong's, and those two words were different Hebrew words for joy. And there was meaning in that that brought that scripture more alive to me, because I understood more about it. And so that's always been a blessing. Another thing you can do is is just flat out memorize scripture. But I have found that there's a lot of doctrine and things that I need to know to be able to defend, you know, my belief. And so I take the scriptures that are behind that doctrine and carry them in the car or something and read them and try to get a handle on something I can use to back up my, you know, beliefs. And that's been very beneficial to me. Another thing it says, someplace, I haven't looked it up, says, think on, let's see, whatever is good, honest, and lovely, and true, and of a good report. Think on these things. And sometimes we talk about things that are true, but they are not lovely, and they are not of a good report. So if you're thinking about analyzing what you're about to say to somebody, go to Proverbs 6:16, and it says there are six things the Lord hates. Well, no, seven. That's my own translation. And then it names what they are. And you can just about do every single one of those on the telephone. And the one about where feet that are swift to do evil, you can hang up and you can't wait to run to your neighbor to tell something that you just heard. So analyze what you're saying and what you're thinking about. It might be true, but that doesn't give you an excuse to think about it or talk about it. It has to be lovely and of a good report. Another thing that's been a great help to me in this thing, and that is the difference between my will and my mind. I will to do this. I want to pray continually. I want to make it part of my life. But my mind is my main problem. It just gives me all kind of troubles. And one of the troubles, it says, is, do you realize how long it is to endure to the end? You're going to have to keep this up all of your life. Are you going to want to be that dedicated? I'm having too much fun thinking just about anything I want to, anytime I want to, and I don't want to be burdened down with having to pray continually. And I didn't realize I had that attitude. It took me about a year and a half to realize that I did have that attitude. And so as soon as I realized it, then I just said, you know, we're not going to go that route of you wanting to be free to do whatever you want. My will is that I pray continually. I have found nothing in the teachings of Christ that when I didn't make it part of my life, I might have put a couple of negatives in there. I found in the teachings of Christ, when I put it into practice, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. I remember one time it said, pray for your enemies. And I had an enemy, and I thought, well, I'll pray for him. And so I started praying for him. And I wasn't praying very good things. And then I got to thinking, you know, you're going to have to get serious about this. And so I started praying good things about him. Boy, did I ever. I did the best thing I could think of. His family to be blessed, his children to, you know, be exposed to the gospel and receive it as part of their life, and to be blessed, just everything I could think of. And I also prayed in the Spirit. I prayed in tongues about that because I didn't know just how to pray like I should. And as I began to do that, a love for that person came into my heart that cannot be broken. It is absolutely set me free from anything that I'd felt that wasn't good. And so having put that part of the Word of God into effect, pray for your enemies, making it part of my life, it has set me free and made me so happy that I'm not carrying a burden of that bitterness. So when I catch on to this praying continually and make it part of my life, I am going to be blessed because something is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but I've never been disappointed when I made what Jesus said to do part of my life. It's just wonderful. I remember we made a study up. Back up just a little bit. There is a website called e-sword.net. This guy decided that anybody in the world ought to be able to download information on how to do anything he wanted to teach on subjects in him. He has books that are fantastic. The Council of Nice, I think he's got about 4 or 5 of them, and all kind of books that are really, really outstanding books, and several Bibles and commentaries, and I got a lot of good of it. So I made this thing that said, I looked up that passage of scripture, it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And so I read some of it. Boy, it was good. It was really, really good. And so one of the things it says, he points out that it just says count it all joy, but this is really your duty. And so I didn't think very much about that. And whenever we finished the class, something happened. Somebody said something. It got me so upset that I just couldn't believe it. It just hurt me to the quick. And so I just sit there with this depressed feeling for a few seconds, and it was like the Holy Ghost was standing right beside me, and he yelled out and said, what is your duty? And I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. I read something. Where was that? And so I went real quick over the scripture, and it says, it's your duty to count it all joy. And so I did. I just thought, you know, I am going to make this part of my life. And I just started counting it all joy and praising the Lord and making an effort to think on good things. And you know something? That ill feeling that I had just went away, just like, phew, it was gone. And it was just neat making the Word of God part of your life. It's just marvelous and wonderful. there's some passages of scripture that'll help you on this. It's in Hebrews 13:21. It says, I've got the God of peace in parenthesis before that. It says, may the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Then in Philippians 2:13 it says, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So you might as well just learn that if you're going to make up your mind that you are going to do this, you are going to pray continually, and I've also added that I am going to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth, and I've I was determined to do that. And if you're determined that you're going to do that, I'll just tell you right now, you're going to fail. You're going to, it's going to be just like everything else you've tried with all your might to do. You're not going to be able to do it. We have a new covenant that is established on better promises. The old covenant is the Ten Commandments. It says that in many places, in Deuteronomy and different places. The Ten Commandments is the old covenant. Jeremiah says, I want to say 31, someplace around in there, says, hey, I'm going to make a new covenant. Not like the one that I made when I took you guys out of Egypt. You didn't keep that at all, you just broke it. But this is the covenant that I'm going to make with you in those days. I'm going to write that in your heart. And so when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, to me that is the new covenant. And it's established on better promises. In the old covenant it said, okay, here's the law. This is what you don't do. This is what you do. And you better do it. In the new covenant, he says, this is what I want you to do now, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be your helper, and you'll be able to accomplish the things that I've asked you to do. And, you know, Jesus said, you can't do anything without me, because I'm the vine and you're the branches. And John the Baptist told those people, he said, man doesn't have anything unless it's given to him from above. And so these scriptures says, it's God that works in you both to do His good pleasure. And so you got a helper. Take Him with you. Just tell Him. Just lay it out and say, I've tried this before. I want to do it. It's not working for me. I can't get it. I need your help. And I think that will help you a whole bunch. You might have to get down to the place where you just say, Lord, I cannot do that. If you don't do it for me, I am not going to be able to do it. And he will help you. That is what he wants to do. He gave his life for us. Now, Jesus died on the cross, you know, to pay for our sins. He didn't do that just to keep us from going to hell. He did that so that we could come back into his presence. That's explained very well in about 3 or 4 pages in the Book of Mormon. It starts out and says, you know, man was in the garden, then they sinned, they were put out, Christ came, made the price, and it just comes back into a round circle so that we can be back into the presence of the Lord. He wants us there. He wants our fellowship. He wants to be alone with us. He wants to spend time walking with us in the cool of the evening in the garden. I've done that. I've gone for walks in our place around here. We've got quite a few trees, and I just said, Jesus, let you and I go for a walk. And I just walked along and talked to him and looked at all the good things he made. Michael Hitt did that. He was out walking and he come on this thorn tree. Boy, I mean, he didn't see it and he stabbed one of those things in his arm and man, it hurt real bad. And so he pulled it out and Jesus spoke to him and said, how'd you like to have a crown made out of that? And so it's neat. It's neat just to spend some time alone with the Lord. Let me see. So I guess we just start out each day with a more of a determination that you are going to make everything that Jesus said part of your life. And it's not easy to do. A lot of the things are very hard to do. Let's see, I forgot what I was going to say right there. Oh, another thing that I've had problems with in the past is somebody would say something to my wife, a relation of hers would say something, and I'd be okay for about a day or two, and then that thing would start eating on me. And I thought, why in the world did they say that? She come home crying? And then I get to thinking, now let me see. Well, boy, if I was there, I'd have said this and not done that. And it usually happens when I'm mowing the lawn. I just keep thinking about it over and over. And I knew it wasn't right, so I'd say a prayer. I'd say, Lord, you know, I'm thinking this is not good stuff. I don't want to do it. Please help me. Well, that worked the first time, but the second time I tried, it didn't work. And so the second time I thought, well, what am I going to do to get my mind just goes over and over and over, and I'm sick and tired of it, but it won't go away. So I thought, well, I don't know what to do. I'll praise the Lord. So I just started singing little praise songs to the Lord, you know, like, oh, come let us adore him. And just any little thing that I knew that was about, and it went away. And boy, I'm so glad. And then 2 or 3 months later or something like that, or a year, another subject, another time would come and start eating at me. And I prayed, and that didn't work. And so I remember now, I praised the Lord the last time and it went away. So I just praised the Lord and it did not go away. And so I have found something that works every single time. And my batteries are out of my Omnicorder. I'd play it for you, but I just want to sing it for you so that you can make it part of your life. Because when you do, and you're thinking things that are not good, and you want to stop, but you can't because you're bitter and whatever the cause, if you will say these words or sing this song, it's in one of the Corinthians, either first or second, I want to say 10:4, 10:5 and 6 and 7 or something like that. It says, casting down, I'll sing it. I'm casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you know, when I say those words, that power that's in the Word of God changes my mind. And it has worked for me over and over and over. And so, I hope you'll learn that song. Maybe the next time when I preach, I'll play it and sing it. Because I want that to be part of your life. And you can use it because it has power that can change who you are. That's what the word. That's what the words of Christ are. See, where's that place that says, I can't think it right now, but it says it's the power of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. So putting the Word of God to work in your life is one of the most wonderful things you can do. It'll change you into a new creature. It'll set you free. It'll release you from habits and bitternesses that have maybe plagued you for a long time. And so I'm through. I just want to encourage you. I got two scriptures down here on the left of this page. It says, John 4:32, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And I couldn't do that because my mind was wandering so much. When I would sing, even in church, I'd be thinking, you know, where are we going to go after we eat? After we have church, where are we going to eat? And, you know, I thought, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. I ought to be thinking about what this song is saying. And so I want to encourage you to start on a path to change your life. And this will be such a help to you, because you'll be able to pray continually and not faint. Thank you very much for letting me share these words with you. That's it.
Thank you, Don. Just a little testimony.
Okay, good.
Something that's happened in my life. Of course, I struggle against the same things you're talking about. Being able to keep my mind truly focused on God, and I get... we had a real good sermon here a few weeks ago from Buzz Rickhouse about murmuring. And
Very good. Even
if I wouldn't do it out loud, I think I was finding that I was doing that in my mind, murmuring. But the other night I was knelt in prayer, and I've been having a lot of trouble at work and everywhere else, and I just... I finally just confessed. I said, God, I'm a mess. I'm not even sure what to ask for. Just help me. And I feel like He's really helped me since then. I think sometimes it's given up. Given over, I guess, is the better way to say it.
Yeah,
to Him.
There you go.
And I do want to thank you. I think your words... I hesitate to even say your words, but I think what you brought us to think about is His words, the teachings of Jesus, and putting them to life in our lives, to live that way and to think that way, that He might be in us at all times and guide us. I remember when I was young and I used to hang out with Ronnie Sheldon a lot, I'd be over at his house, and his mom would just continually go through the house singing sermons and stuff. Not singing sermons, but singing church songs. And was just so happy.
And yeah,
that she had that joy in her. And it brought God's Spirit with it. And so I think... and I pray that God will help us to get up in the morning and to put our feet in the river of life and to be His representative and to show out the light that He gives us. So thank you for your words.
Are there any questions?
Can I give like a little testimony?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was hallucinating before, seeing things and hearing things. And I went to the hospital for it. But before I did, I said a prayer that I would get better and be able to come back so I could spend some time with my friends and family. And I did, and I got better, and I'm back, and hi.
Wow.
Thank you, Katie.
That is neat.
And this is Benny. I looked up that little song that you were singing, Dom. The verse that's based on is 2 Corinthians 10th chapter.
Okay.
Say that again, Benny.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Thank you.
I remember one time my son Mark got sick and almost died. And about 3 days later, I was at work, and my legs began to get sweaty. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm getting that same thing Mark had, because... it's been 3 days, and that's an incubation period, and therefore I am going to be sick. And so I thought, oh, no, you're not. And so I said a prayer, as best I could, and it didn't help. And so I praised the Lord for a little while, and that didn't help. And so I went in the cooler and slammed the door. Nobody could hear me, and I hollered and said, "The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And you know, that the instant I said those words, all those symptoms went away. And I thought that was neat.
Yeah. He said that verse 4, that verse just before the chorus was, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds."
Well, I'll remember that now, because that's 10-4. Everybody all right. 10-4.
That's bad.
I love all you guys. This is just really neat, and I'm so glad I got to be here today.
We thank you, too.
Thank you for your sermon.
Would you all bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we do truly thank you for being with us today, and I ask that you would continue with us, that your spirit would be in us, and that service would be the definition of the way we walk, and not just a dedicated time on Sunday, that we would be your servants, that we would shine forth your light and do your will. Help us, Lord, to set aside more time alone with you in prayer, and more time to feast on your word, to actually study out of the Bible and of the Book of Mormon, and to have those things ingrained within our heart, and to put them into practice when we need it most, in those times of stress and trial, that those times when we need it most, we will remember, and that we will apply the way you've shown us to live. And we would give you all the credit, because we know that you are God, and you are our leader. And we would praise you in the name of thy son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You all have a good week.
Okay.
You
love you all.
Love you guys.